Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
1 John 2:28 says, "And now, dear children, continue in Him, so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming." Shalom, brothers and sisters. Today I want to talk to you about something that many believers rarely think about, but something that can have eternal consequences. If Yahshua, our wonderful Messiah, returned today, would you be ready? Most believers immediately think about doctrine, prophecy, the mark of the beast, end times, signs of the Sabbath or the feast. These things are important, but there is another issue that often gets ignored. There are many people who know Scripture, attend fellowship, keep the Sabbath, celebrate biblical feasts, avoid unclean foods, and study prophecy, yet there are unresolved matters in their hearts. There are old wounds, old grudges, broken relationships, unforgiveness, bitterness, pride, and many believers convince themselves that these things are not important. Yet Yeshua, a wonderful Messiah, spoke about these matters repeatedly. Today we're going to examine what Scripture says about being ready for His return and why forgiveness, reconciliation, and a clear conscience are essential parts of spiritual readiness. You see, the enemy and spiritual warfare goes hand in hand, and it says in Ephesians there's a battle going on for our souls. And it's not just here while we're on earth, but for eternity and where we spend eternity. And convincingly, the enemy is trying to put us in a place where we do not focus on the things we should be focusing on. And that's a problem. And we need to get this right and understand the important things. It's one thing to be right with our Creator, but it's also an important thing to be right with fellow man. Not just for them and our relationship with them, but for us and our ultimate relationship with our Father, because this is the example that Yeshua taught. You know, the commandments, we could, if you want to dummy it down to 10 commandments, and you look at that, and you think about the first commandments are towards man, towards our Creator. But then the rest of the commandments, the last six commandments, are man towards his fellow man. And if we want to be obedient to the Scripture and obedient to the Word, we have to understand all of this. And today we live in a world where we have some people that focus on the commandments or the relationship with our Creator more than our relationship with one another. And then there are other people that focus on our relationship with one another more than on with our Creator. But Scripture doesn't pick and choose and tell us to focus on this idea and not that idea. There's no incompleteness in the Scriptures. You're either for Him or against Him. You're either moving forward or backwards. There's no standing still. It's all or none with our Creator, not picking and choosing. We have to think about this. And we don't just do this to other people, but we do it to ourselves. And it's hurting us, but these things can just unlock. They can unlock what's holding us back. Yes, we look forward to eternity with our Creator. Just because we're going to get new bodies doesn't mean we should watch our current body break down. That's the point. I'll say that again. Just because we're promised new bodies in our next life or our next phase of life doesn't mean we're supposed to sit here and watch our current body break down. And that concept goes on every single level. Just because things are going to be renewed in the new kingdom doesn't mean we're just to sit here and watch things just break down on our relationships and everything else. And then when you throw in the mix of it, the spiritual warfare that takes place, and how the enemy understands this, and he knows the weakness of people's thinking and understanding, and he tries to attack this. So let's look at this. First, we're going to look at the danger of unforgiveness. Matthew 6:14-15 says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." The trespasses. These are not words in Scripture of Paul. These are not Moses' words. These are the words of Yeshua. Yeshua. These are his words. And this is what he's telling us. This is what he wants from us. He does not say, if you don't forgive me, you will lose some rewards. He doesn't say, if you don't forgive, you will have a harder life. He says, your own forgiveness is connected to your willingness to forgive others. Wow. Wow. You talk about sowing and reaping. This is amazing. This is a serious statement by a wonderful creator who we decide we want to follow when we become believers. Many believers are stuck here. How can they receive forgiveness from others if they're holding unforgiveness towards others or even towards themselves? This is a serious statement. Many believers are hurt and they carry hurts from years ago. Someone lied about them. A family member betrayed them. A former spouse wounded them. A business partner might have cheated them. A friend might have abandoned them. It goes on and on and on. And they carry the pain for years. But Scripture never gives us permission to hold on to bitterness. Forgiveness is not saying the other person was right. Forgiveness is not pretending the wrong never happened. Forgiveness is releasing the debt and surrendering judgment to our wonderful Creator Yahweh. That's what it is. Slow down a second, whatever you're doing. If you're driving and you're listening to this or if you're watching this, think about what I just said. Forgiveness is releasing the debt and surrendering judgment to Yahweh. Let it go. Stop holding on to the bitterness or the idea of what's fair and you weren't treated fairly. Let it go. Give it to Yahweh. He will make things right. I read a lot of books on spiritual warfare, and I can tell you one of the most common ways that people are attacked is through unforgiveness and bitterness and just not letting things go. And it destroys people. It destroys your peace. In a recent lecture, we spoke about peace and the shalom. And many people often wonder why they have no peace. And I know people like this in my life. I have family members who just, they're just never at peace. I have friends, they just never seem to be at peace. And then when you examine their life, they have an issue with everyone and everything. They blame the doctors for the disease. They blame their jobs for their lack of financial gain. They blame everyone for everything. And even if those reasons are true, you got to let it go. You got to let it go. And these people that are stuck here, they pray. You know, how could our Creator answer our prayers if we have this roadblock? He can, but will he? You know, some of them worship. You know, in their prayers, they're often, well, I want this person. And they always say what they want to happen to this person who hurt them. We take the example of King David in Scripture. He didn't pray for people to suffer. You know, he put it in Yahweh's hands. He let it up to Yahweh to be the judge of what the result to be. But these people let it go. You know, and some of these people are, you know, they might be going to church with you. They worship with you. They study. But just something with inside them is unsettled. And that might be you. Maybe you're the person that's praying and you worship and you study. But you're just, you don't have that peace. You know, and you got to think, you know, and ask yourself, do you have any bitterness within you about a situation that you can let go, but you haven't yet? Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no bitter root grows up and causes trouble and defile many. You understand, bitterness is like a poison. Most people think they are hurting the other person. In reality, they are hurting themselves. The person who hurt you may have forgotten about it years ago. Meanwhile, you're carrying the burden every single day. Our Creator never intended us to live that way. And forgiveness sets us free. This is a personal thing to me because I've had literally the closest people to me literally lose their life in a state of bitterness. They never had that peace in their life. Every time I called them up on the phone, family members, they had a complaint about something or someone, and you knew it was just nudging them. And they never got over that before they died. And to live a life like that, it's just, you know, we have to let go. Then we look at the other side. We look at the other side of the coin here. Forgiving others is only half of the issue. The other half is asking forgiveness when we have wronged someone, when we've done something wrong, when we didn't do something right. Many people want mercy. Few people want humility. Matthew 5:23-24 says, if you are offering a gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. First go to be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. This is something we've been talking about here lately because often people go to our Creator and it might not be physically to an altar. It might be through prayer. You might just try to do your daily prayers or something might happen. You might pray. But do you ever notice your prayers aren't getting answered? This is the same concept of going to the altar and bringing a gift to our Creator. And the Creator just stopped you there. I don't want your gift until you go in and make things right. Then you come back to me. And this is the thing. Often, there's an unsettled situation between two people. And you haven't resolved that yet. Think about this. Yeshua actually tells us to stop our religious activity. Stop praying. Stop worshiping. Stop bringing your offering. And go and make things right. Why? Because relationships matter to Yahweh. We cannot claim to love Yahweh while refusing to deal honestly with people. You know, something happened to me recently that just helped me to remember the way I think about people. I have a situation where my neighbor got a rooster and he didn't want eggs. He just loves animals and he got a rooster. But the rooster makes a lot of noise. So I went over to him and I said, can you get rid of the rooster? I said, I'll get you a hen if you get rid of the rooster because the hen doesn't make noise. He said, okay. So I got him a hen, but he didn't get rid of the rooster. The hen actually ran away, but now he still has the rooster. And I said, you told me you were going to get rid of the rooster. And he said, well, I decided I'm going to keep the rooster. So he went back on his word. I didn't hold anything against him. I just thought to myself, well, this guy's not being honest. But I didn't judge him in a way of like he's not a good person. I actually become to like the rooster, the sound of the rooster, because I'm up early enough where it's not waking me. But the point being is, I didn't hold on to that bitterness. Oh, he said he was going to get rid of this and he didn't. And then it went even farther than that. A couple of days later, he comes to me and he was actually drunk. And on the outside, you would think this isn't a good person. He drinks, you know, and you know, so, but he actually comes to me drunk, banging on my door. He says, "You killed my rooster." I'm like, "What in the world are you talking about?" He said, "My rooster's gone. Somebody killed my rooster." I said, "Well, it wasn't me." You know, I'm trying to have a conversation with him, but he's drunk and coherent, but drunk and not coherent. And I said, "I didn't kill your rooster." He goes, "Well, then the neighbors killed the rooster." You know, and I'm thinking in my mind, well, he lied and maybe he's getting what he deserved. But I'm also thinking, you know, how can I calm him down to let him know that, you know, we can get him another rooster. We can get him another chicken. So I said, "Look, don't worry. I'll get you another hen. It'll be fine. If you want another rooster, we can get..." But he just wasn't coherent. I mean, he wasn't hearing it. He was drunk. So we left. And the next morning, guess what I hear? I hear the rooster. And I'm like, "Oh, I guess his rooster's back. You know, maybe his rooster was resurrected or something. I don't know." And so he comes to me that evening, I guess after work, and he was straight. He wasn't drunk. And he says, "I want to apologize. My rooster is over there. You didn't kill my rooster. And I want to apologize for coming over here and making you claim that you killed the rooster and all that." And I said, "No, it's all good." And I never held any bitterness from him from the beginning of this story. When he didn't get to rooster, he lied to me. I never held anything. I know this message well enough. At least, you know, there are some areas of my life I need to work on, but this area, I'm pretty good. So I just thought, in this man's life where he's broken in areas and getting drunk and things aren't always going great, he obviously lies or doesn't stick to his word. But this man had the humility to come immediately after work to come to me to try to make things right and not have an issue between neighbors or people. I'm like, this, on the surface, it might not look good, but deep down inside, this man has a conscience, and he wanted to make things right immediately. And that's the example of what we have here. And we think about this, the power of humility. You know, we got to think about this and understand this. Pride often keeps us from apologizing. Pride says, "They started it. They hurt me first. I'll apologize when they apologize." But humility asks, "What is my responsibility for Yahweh and before Yahweh?" James 4 verse 6 says, "Yahweh opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble." Think about that. The creator of the universe opposes pride. If we want peace, humility must become part of our daily life. A mature believer is quick to repent, quick to forgive, quick to apologize, and quick to make things right. What if they won't reconcile? Someone always asks, "What if I apologize and they reject me?" And that's a fair question. Romans 12:18 says, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." Notice these words, "as much as it depends on you." You are responsible for your actions. You are not responsible for another person's response. You can only write the letter, make the phone call, offer the apology, seek reconciliation. After that, the decision belongs to them. If they reject your efforts, your conscience can remain clear before a wonderful creator. I had a choice. When this fellow came back to me to apologize, I could have said, "Get out of here." And I could have held, I had a right, I had a good argument. First he lied to me, and then he came knocking on my door, but no. I just let it go. But he did his part and immediately came to me to make things right. Let's look at Matthew 25, the wise and foolish virgins. The parable of the 10 virgins should wake us up. Notice something. All 10 were virgins. All had 10 had lamps. All 10 expected the bridegroom. Yet only 5 were ready. This tells something important. The greatest danger is not always unbelief. Sometimes it is spiritual complacency. Sometimes it is carrying unresolved issues while assuming we are ready. The wise virgins were prepared. The foolish virgins assumed they had more time. Many people assume they will reconcile later. I'll forgive later, repent later, apologize later. But none of us are promised tomorrow. The point being is, don't wait to do something that you know our Creator wants you to do. If your conscience is right, and if you want to be at peace, don't put these things on a back burner. Get these things done as quickly as possible. Let's look at the judgment seat of Messiah. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Messiah." Notice Paul says, all, not some of us, not only unbelievers, all of us. Believers will stand before Messiah. This is not about earning salvation. It is about giving an account. We must give an account for our actions. Paul understood this. That is why he lived with urgency. That is why he continually examined himself. That is why he spoke openly about repentance. Do you have matters that you've been putting on the back burner? Do you have matters that you let continually keep bitterness afloat, and unforgiveness is not in your future plans? Do you wait for something bad to happen to that person before you go and you try to reconcile with them? Immediately drop everything before coming to our Creator. And I don't want to say prayer, because maybe sometimes we need pray to humble ourselves, and we need to ask him for humility and go to that person. But make this your first priority. Don't put these things on the back burner. You want to have a clear conscience. Acts 24 verse 16 says, "I always strive to have a clear conscience towards God and towards man." This may be one of the most practical verses in the whole Bible. Can you say that? And can I say that? I want to always, not sometimes, but always strive to have a clear conscience, not only towards our Creator, but towards man also. Do we strive daily to maintain a clear conscience before our Creator and fellow man? A clear conscience doesn't mean perfection. It means immediate correction. When we realize we're wrong, we deal with it. When conviction comes, we respond. We don't ignore it. We don't justify it. We don't excuse it. We make it right as soon as possible. In all this, let's look at the example of our wonderful Messiah. Let's look at the example he set for us. And if we're truly followers of him, we will follow him in the way we should go and the way we should do these things. No one suffered more injustice than Yeshua. Yet, what did he say? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Think about that. The people mocking him, beating him, crucifying him, and he forgave them. If Messiah could forgive those who nailed him to the cross, how can we refuse to forgive those who have wronged us? Yeshua didn't just teach forgiveness. He demonstrated it. You know, I'm not the most perfect person. I certainly make mistakes. And I do things that many of you don't know or don't realize because you don't live with me every day. But my wife does. She lives with me. She sees my imperfections. And I am amazed about her humility in a way of not holding bitterness towards me and these things very long. I'm amazed by her asking me for forgiveness when she knows she did something or said something in the wrong tone. And the way she forgives me so quickly, whether I come to her or not, in a timely fashion. And this is what helps our relationship. We're both humble enough and not letting pride get in the way of our differences. And I think this is the example Yeshua wants us to have with one another. Whether it's somebody who realizes our shortcomings or not, we should know. And we should seek to be humble in all these matters. Let's ask ourselves, as we look at the example of Yeshua, ask yourself some questions. Is there anyone I have not forgiven? And it doesn't have to be recently, it could be from a long time ago. Is there anyone I need to contact? Is there someone I need to apologize to? Is there bitterness in my heart? Is there pride keeping me from making things right? Is my conscience clear before Yahweh? Is my conscience clear before people? Don't rush past these questions. Allow the Ruach HaKodesh to search your heart, the set apart spirit, the Holy Spirit to search your heart. Brothers and sisters, let's be ready for the return of Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah. As we get ready for this, it is not merely knowing prophecy. It is not merely keeping commandments. It is not merely attending fellowship. It is living with a clear conscience before Yahweh and before people. It is walking in forgiveness, walking in humility, walking in repentance, walking in obedience. If Yeshua returned today, would there be unfinished business in your life? Would there be someone you need to forgive? Someone you need to call? Someone you need to reconcile with? Do not delay. The enemy always says tomorrow, or later on, or in the future. The Spirit says today. Today. Psalms 139, verses 23 to 24 says, "Search me, O Yah, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." May we be people who forgive quickly. May we be people who repent quickly. May we be people who reconcile quickly. And may we be ready whenever our Messiah returns. Hallelujah, brothers and sisters. I pray that something I said today here will bless you and help you to live that peace and to be free from all the anxiety and the bitterness and unforgiveness. Have a blessed day and shalom, shalom. Come
out of the world. You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah
Life Ministry. Welcome to Taken Studios, the podcast studio designed with you in mind. Whether you're preaching, teaching, or sharing your heart, we provide a professional space where your voice can be heard. With our state-of-the-art equipment, expert sound engineers, and welcoming environment, you can reach Barry at 727-422-4374.
The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.